Amen. That's an army. Somebody say, that's an army. Turn around, face this way. Say, yes, sir. Amen. Amen. I want to say that it's a joy today. You know, Brent and Robin have been coming now for a while, and they've been a great blessing to us, and the Lord has worked in them, and they came and voiced their desire to become members, and of course we said yes. And so today we're so pleased to be able to receive them into this fellowship of believers today. So they're not strangers, and we know them, and all these kids right here, I think I've seen them around here somewhere. I'm always asking them, I said, you behaving yourself? And they'll just look at me and smile because they know that Robin will jerk a knot in him. So I say, amen. But that's a fine-looking family today. And so today I want everybody to stand together, if you will, please. And we just want to pray a blessing over you. Father, we thank you today for Brent and Robin. God, we thank you for their family. Lord, we thank you, Father God, that they, Lord, have voiced that desire to become members of this fellowship. Lord, so we receive them today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, part of this body of believers. Father, we're anticipating great things, greater things. And Father, we just ask your keeping power over their family. We plead the blood of Jesus over them. We mark them with the blood of Christ. And Father, we ask, oh God, that Lord, that you will enrich them, edify them, build them up. Father, may they be all that you desire for them to be. Father, we just thank you right now for your covering and your hand upon their lives. And give you the highest praise, Father, that you have washed them in your blood, that they are born again. And they know you, Lord Jesus. We give you all the thanks and the praise for it as we receive them today into this family of believers. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. I want you to come and welcome them in this morning. Welcome, my brother. All right, guys, hurry up now. Deborah wanted me to say to everybody, to all the fathers, happy Father's Day. She's watching today down at her dad's house. And I would like for us to tell Wilbert Robertson happy Father's Day. Just look back there and say, hey, happy Father's Day, Wilbert. Happy Father's Day. Amen. Amen. And just one other thing. We have a special person that needs prayer. Her name is Virginia Carr. And she supplies a lot of these veggies out here that Van brings. And she needs a healing touch in her body. And so we want to pray for her this morning and ask God to touch her. Amen. Lord, we just lift up Virginia today. We're thankful for her heart, a giving heart. God, her service to this country. Lord, she's a blessing and we need her, God. We ask you to touch her today. We curse that infirmity and command it to wither and die. We speak life over her and healing in the name of Jesus. And thank you right now for ministering to her. We give you thanks and praise for it, Father. And everybody said amen and amen and amen. Now, we're going to turn to our fathers here. How you want to do this, Cherie? So everybody got quiet and everybody just like, what's happening or something?
Good morning to all you fathers, and I'd like for all of you to stand. We made the mother stand, so I'm going to make you fathers stand. Let's give these fathers a big, big hand. Thank you. You may be seated. As I was trying to go and come up with the gifts for the fathers, we have one for the youngest father and one for the oldest father this morning. The Lord kept telling me something. Now, whether I can get it out the way he wanted me to get it out, I don't know, because I get nervous and then my head goes to jumbling. But the first one that we're going to give out is for the youngest father. What is a father? A father is a provider. He loves us. He takes care of us. He teaches us, and he guides us. One of the things that we're taught is to be clean. And our Heavenly Father wants us to be clean. And he wants us to keep our surroundings clean. And so the youngest father will receive this wash bucket to clean their cars. So on the youngest father, do we have anyone who is 20? 25? 30? 35? 40? You're 40? You're 35? 39, okay. How old are you? 37. Okay, is Andrew in here? Patrick's 39 also. Okay, do we have Andrew in here? Andrew, can you come and help me, please? Okay, hold on. Okay, we had 37, right? Who is 37? Donnie. Okay, he gets the wash bucket. Okay, take that to the one at the camera. Patrick gets the fishing pole. And you'll get yours in just a second. I need it for a minute. And so when I come to the oldest father, you know, the Lord give the ability to people to make tools so that we can fix things, build things. And that's how he provided for us to have. Just like he provided us with poles to be able to fish, to provide food for our family. And inside of this one has also got a book. It says praying for your adult children. But the main tool that God gave us was the Bible, his word. And this is how he expects us to use his tool to live our life and to guide others the way they need to be guided and to love us the way we need to be loved. Okay, now we're going to do the oldest father, and thank you for helping me. Wait a minute, I still need you. Okay, do we have a father here that is 100? Do we have one that is 90? 85? 80? Okay. So he gets this one. Pastor, can you come down? And this here is for you, and this is from your Harvest Worship family.
Oh, well, thank you.
So this is presented to you, okay. And then this is other gifts that others has brought as well that is for you.
Good.
I've got a couple more things. And the Lord also laid it on my heart that each father here today on the ones who received the gifts, I'm a little short, but I can get some for next Sunday. I'm presenting you with a Bible, and I know you've probably already got a Bible. If you don't, you're welcome to keep it. But if you do, I'm giving you this Bible so that you can bless someone else with a Bible. So there is yours. And can you give Donald one? And give Patrick one? And thank you.
Praise the Lord. Man. Well, let's all stand together. Good to see you in God's house this morning. Happy Father's Day to all of our fathers. Let's give all of our dads today, fathers, a hand clap. Amen. And let's give God, our Father in heaven, a mighty praise today. And let's enter into worship today. Let's enter in and give glory to God. Thank you, Lord.
Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to my father. Love you.
Give thanks to the Lord. His love endures forever. Give praise to the Lord. Beside him there's no other. Give thanks to the Lord. His love endures forever. Give praise to the Lord. Beside him there's no other. This is the day the Lord has made. We rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day the Lord has made. Oh, I will rejoice and be glad in it. He brought us from mourning to dancing, from glory to glory. This is the day the Lord has made. So what are we waiting for? La 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 la. Come on and praise the Lord. The Lord, there's freedom for the captives, good news to the poor, and beauty for the ashes. So what are we waiting for? What are we waiting for? This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day the Lord has made. Oh, I will rejoice and be glad in it. He brought us from mourning to dancing, from glory to glory. This is the day the Lord has made. So what are we waiting for? La 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 la. Come on and praise the Lord. Waiting for la 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 la. Come on and praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I live to tell what the Lord has done. I sing to sing of my Savior's love. Live because he is risen. La 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 la. I live to tell what the Lord has done. I live to sing of my Savior's love. I live because he is risen. La 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 la. la 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 la. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day the Lord has made. Oh, I will rejoice and be glad in it. He brought us from mourning to dancing, from glory to glory. This is the day the Lord has made. So what are we waiting for? La, 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 la. Come on and praise the Lord. La, 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 la. Come on and praise the Lord. La, 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 la. Come on and praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Amen. And that's our wake-up song this morning. Amen. Are you awake out there? We serve such a mighty God. We just bless the fathers this morning. And I pray his richest blessings upon each house in this community, in this house this morning. We bless you. We send blessings to your house, to your children. Blessings and peace over that house in Jesus' name. We run to you this morning, Lord. You are our Father. Oh, and you are a great Father. We bless you this morning. Can you just take time to thank him for his goodness? He woke you up this morning. You're in the house of God. You are blessed. You are blessed. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for what you have done for us, the provisions that you have provided. You are such a good and great Father. We just bless your name, Jesus. We bless you, Lord. For God, you loved us so much that you gave the very best gift that you could give. It was that heart-wrenching gift of your Son, and you gave him to save us, to deliver us, to heal us, to provide for us. God, we are just so in awe of what you have done for us, Lord. Thank you so much. We run to you this morning. We are running to you. Amen. I've carried a burden to start that again. I've carried a burden for too long on my own. Created to bear it alone. I hear your invitation to let it all go. Yeah, I see it now. I'm laying it down, and I know that I need. Run to the Father, fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend. So I run to the Father again and again and again and again. Condition had a plan from the start. Your Son for redemption, the price of my heart. And I don't have a reason to wait. exalt you, Lord. There's none like you, O Lord. There's none like you, O God. We bless you, Lord. You are so good. You are so good. Precious blood, Lord. Thank you for the blood. You are the greatest sacrifice. There is none higher than you, O Lord. There is none higher than you. You are the one. Before I call, you tell the storm when it will cease, before it starts. The God above who searches deep within my highest praise cannot proclaim how great you are. There is none like you, none like you, the faithful one, Jesus. There is none like you, not like you, the faithful one, Jesus. We exalt you this morning. We exalt you in this house. Your name is above every name. Your name is above every sickness, every situation. Lord, it is so easy for you, oh God, to tell that storm to be quiet, to lay down and let there be peace. We speak that over people this morning, your peace. We speak shalom, the peace. Oh, peace that you give. Not as the world gives, but as you give, oh Lord. We speak that peace. The wonderful peace. No sacrifice can now repay the debt I owe. Righteousness that was your own. Still, I will give myself away to make you know. Yours alone. Jesus. We bless your name, Lord. Oh, just lift up the name of Jesus in this house. The worthy one.
Lord, yes, Jesus.
Amen, amen, amen.
Come on, let me hear you give him a praise this morning. Come on, lift him up. Somebody say, lift him up. Thank you, Lord. Okay. And you may go be seated this morning. And we do have a gift for our fathers. So while they're being seated, fathers, come up. We have a gift for you over here and a gift, the same ones. Just come and get these, please. Come on, fathers, and get you a gift. One out of each basket. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Happy Father's Day. Thank you, Lord. Thank God for fathers. Amen. Let's go ahead and turn in our Bibles this morning to Malachi chapter number 4. Malachi chapter 4, starting with verse 4. And it is good to see you in God's house this morning. Good to see all of our fathers here. And we pray God's richest blessing upon you and that you will be strengthened to be that father that God wants you to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Malachi chapter 4. If you're having a hard time finding it, it's the last book in the Bible of the Old Covenant. Man, I'm hoping you're more familiar with your Bible than that. Malachi chapter 4, verse 4. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Verse 5. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Verse 6, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Let us pray. Father, thank you today for your word. We ask you to come and touch our hearts, touch our ears, give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. Holy Spirit, guide my every thought, guide my every word. We thank you today for our fathers. We ask you to touch them. Stir their hearts. Father, there's a great responsibility that is laid upon every one of us as a father. And I'm asking you today to let that be awakened. And Holy Spirit, we say we desperately need your touch today. Move in the midst of us. Work as only you can work. We give ourselves to you. Receive all that you have. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen and amen. How could one help but notice today all the bad news and madness lately in the world in which we live? We have seen over the past few days all kinds of crazy stuff happen. One of the common denominators in most of the national news has to do with the values, the moral values, and the state of the American family today. How in America, think about this, the land of opportunity where anyone's dreams can come to pass, do we have such a societal problem, especially amongst our young people? How have we come to the place where we have allowed DEI and transgenderism, transgender confusion, and pronouns to rule? Having universities to brainwash students to be anti-American without any critical thought as to what is being taught them. See, we're in a national crisis right now. Everybody say a crisis in many ways. See, I believe that God allows crises for two reasons. Number one, that crises causes us to think soberly. Because we look at the world and we say, what is going on? It's not supposed to be this way. God, what do we need to do to correct this? And secondly, crisis puts life on the line. It's where we live, where no word is casual and no action is marginal. And so we have a crisis today in a lack of fathers in the United States of America. And as I look at the crisis that's plaguing our nation, it should cause every believer, those cold, those indifferent, those that are backslid, those that have drifted away, and even those that are on fire, to put our relationship with God first place. Everybody say first place. You see, our interest in God has become crowded out to the margins. It has sink in. And it has caused many to become preoccupied with ourselves, losing focus on our God-given responsibilities. Religion becomes trivialized in something like this. And it comes to the point that we're simply asking God questions, you know, calling God into question or complaining to God. We tend to let everything else go except us. Malachi is a book that calls us to wake up, to get up, to stand up, and to man up. Malachi gets that last word in the old covenant. You see, I believe God designs things for a certain reason. And so when the old covenant begins to close out, Malachi comes into the last word. The final sentence puts us face to face with two powerful men in the Bible, Moses and Elijah, which speak of and representing the law and the prophets. These two powerful men are not only found in the final pages of the old covenant, but also are found in the final chapters of the new covenant. They point us to what God has done and what he has spoken in time past, and what God is going to say in the days ahead. See, I believe that history tells the future. I'm going to say that again. I believe that history tells the future. And so Malachi ended his prophecy with these words of God in chapter 4, verse 4, by saying, remember the law of Moses. Remember when you don't keep the word how things go. Remember when you let it be marginal in your life, how life begins to turn sour. America is in the mess that it is in today because we marginalized God. We trivialized his laws. Come on. So remember my servant Moses. Remember the law. My servant which I commanded, his statutes and his judgments. You see, if I were going to put it in today's terminology, I would simply say, remember the word of God and remember his commands. Listen to his promise. You see, he tells Joshua before the conquest of Canaan, he tells them, he says, look, he said, meditate in my law both day and night. If you will do so, then you will have a good success. Success depends on your meditation in the law. Why do I need to meditate in the law? So that I will not forget its precepts. Because there's life in the law. There's life in the word. And so often today, one of the things that we hear from people is that I'm not under the law. That's very true, but the law also stands for the Bible, the Word. And I'm under the governance of the Word. And I need the blessing of the Word. And I need the direction of the Word. I need the wisdom of the Word. Come on now. I need the knowledge of God's Word in my life. And so simply what God is telling us, he's saying, listen, listen to this command that I have given unto you. Behold, I will send you Elijah. And I love this. Behold, I will send. Not gonna send. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he's speaking of the Spirit of God that rested upon Elijah. The Spirit of God to execute justice and judgment and father a generation. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to the disobedient of the wisdom of the wise, lest I come and smite the earth or allow the earth to be smitten with a curse. So this is going to be a wake-up call that God is giving to all the fathers. Everybody say to all the fathers and the children. Everybody say all the fathers and the children. It is a turning. It is to be a repenting. It is to be a cleansing. You see, Elijah was a corrective father. He was a revealer of God. Elijah was a mentor to his generation. He was a father to generations. And God says, I will send Elijah. Somebody say, God's going to send him. We know that he came in the person of John the Baptist, but I'm going to tell you, I believe that God is simply saying to us that he is going to send that spirit of Elijah today upon fathers in the church, that we will learn to conduct our paths and live our lives in such a manner that we teach others the ways of God, and that we reveal who the Father is and that he is a holy God. Somebody say, and that he is a holy God. See, one of our biggest problems today is that we have trusted the world to teach our children. And while we slept, the enemy came and sowed tares, did he not? So we can blame it on the times, and we can say, well, the scripture foretold us that these times would come and that we're going to encounter them. But it seems what many have called normal times today have turned into troubled times. Look at somebody and say, we're in troubled times. The times that Paul predicted, the times that Paul told about. And it is really because of the lack of fathers. Everybody say fathers. You see, where there's ease and where there's contentment without responsible biblical thinking, we marginalize our walk with God. Oh, everything's going good, man. I got a good paycheck, got a nice home. I can go on all the vacations and I can go to the best malls and I can eat at the finest steakhouses and I've got all kinds of friends and all of these things. Honey, I want you to understand the house is burning down around you. And if you think that what you see going on in America right now with the trends that are happening is going to fade away in the past, you're mistaken. It takes fathers to turn it around. Somebody say it takes fathers to turn it around. Society is going to drift because they have cut loose the anchor of truth and responsibility before God. In fact, many mock and call God and Christianity outdated. They heard that somewhere without investigating it for themselves. I can remember some years back in the 1970s that, you know, that some of the old depictions that Stalin had, that he depicted God as an old gray-headed, long-bearded man that was feeble and inept and couldn't do anything, because that is the way that he wanted the world to view God. But Stalin's in hell right now unless he repented before he left this earth. And I want you to know that God, our God, is still alive and well and in charge and is the sovereign Lord of glory. Somebody say amen. See, if only people would investigate for themselves, they would find out that this lie is as old as the world. History marches on every day proving that God is alive and well. Psalm 2, listen. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth have set themselves in and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his Christ, saying, let us break asunder their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. We do not want God's law. We don't need his commands. They're outdated. They're outmoded. Why do we need that? Because, my friend, you need the restraint of the moral law of God to keep you in line so that you will not be eternally lost and that the world will not be cursed of the curse. He that sits in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them with sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I will give you the heathen for thine inheritance. This is God speaking to us. God says, hey, ask for those Muslims. Ask for those people that are murdering the Christians in Africa. Ask for California. Ask for New York City. Ask for Richmond, Virginia. Come on now. Ask for the heathen. And God said, I will give them unto you as your inheritance. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry with you and you perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Man, I want to trust God. I say we need to trust God. See, I'm telling you this morning that we have a responsibility before God, fathers. We must not sin by saying we're not our brother's keeper and crawl into our own little hole on our own speck of land and pretend that it will not come to us. So you can quote Psalm 91 all day long, but if you leave your part out, it will not work. See, it'll creep into any place that it can get in. And the Bible says, give no place to the devil. Did you know that the influence of anarchy and lawlessness today, the love of pleasure and the lust for stuff, has trivialized God and made him of no importance in society? Think about this. Many Christians have bowed their knee to DEI and tolerance, which have opened the door for perversion of truth, making it secondary to the worldview. Hear me. Being concerned this morning is not enough. I'm going to say that again. Being concerned about it is not enough. Looking at the TV and say, man, that's bad. That's not enough. It's not even enough just to pray about it. You've got to be activated. You've got to take action. You've got to be the father. You've got to be the one to take a stand. And when there is an absence, and where there is an absence of fathers, we see the effects of it. Did you know that more than half of all the babies born to American women under the age of 30 are born out of wedlock? Today, one out of every three children of the United States live in a home without a father. A total of 42% of single mothers in America are on food stamps because no father will be there to have a job to provide. That there are now 100 million citizens on food stamps and other forms of taxpayer assistance. An entitlement mindset is overwhelming not just an entire generation of American parents. It is being handed down to their children, to the next generations. The United States also has the highest divorce rate on the planet. More than 1 million public school students are homeless. That's staggering. Also a first in history in the United States. The teen pregnancy rate in America is twice as high as Canada, three times greater than France, and more than seven times as high as Japan. America also has the highest teen pregnancy rate in the world. And one in every four American teenage girls have had at least one type of a sexually transmitted disease. A total of 47% of high school students in the United States have had sex, and more often than not, at an age far younger than we can even imagine. One of the most alarming things about our beloved land is that America has the highest rate of child abuse deaths around the world. I was astonished last week to hear of a father who took an infant and threw it across the room, bashed in its skull. It was on the 6 o'clock news in Carolina. Somebody say that should not be. About 3 million child abuse reports are filed around the country each year. Approximately 20% of child sexual abuse victims are younger than 8 years of age. According to the statistics cited in the study, approximately one in every four American girls will be sexually abused before their 18th birthday. Somebody say we need fathers. The fiscal and family trends which have been mounting along with the failure to interpret the importance of fathers in this nation, especially under previous administrations, have opened the door for anarchy, lawlessness, perversion, socialism, and civil unrest. And without true fathers, we have no leadership. Did you know that a president is a father? Do you know that congressmen and senators are supposed to be fathers? Do you know that policemen are supposed to be fathers? Do you know and understand today that you as a Christian are to be a father? Huh. See, without true fathers, wisdom and leadership disappear. And what happens as a result of it? People demonstrate, but they have no idea why. Other than someone is paying them to do it. People scream about pronouns and the DEI, their rights, but they have no understanding of the rights that they already have. People burn down cities, they murder people, rob, steal, thinking that they're doing some historical, heroic act, not even realizing that they're pouring gas on their own demise. People copy and paste things on Facebook because they want to feel empowered. I've said something, I've made a statement, but they never weigh what they're doing. Whether it's really right or wrong, you're better off shutting your mouth and being quiet unless God told you to do it. Somebody say, is it truth? Is it truth? Man's best efforts apart from God are futile, are of non-effect. They're in vain because they all lead to. So what is the answer? What is the answer? I believe that fathers, and understand that term when I say fathers today, can break the cycle of negligence in their families and keep family history from repeating itself. You can break the power of the cycle of hell. You can break the power of the enemy. But it takes a real father to do that. See, I believe that godly fathers hold the truth in love and lie not can turn things around. I believe that. A father is defined in Scripture as a chief. Listen to me. Forefathers. You remember in Scripture that oftentimes you hear your father Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The forerunners, the forefathers. They are the founder of a household. They're generators of benevolence, and they are protectors. It's a term of respect. It's a term of honor, and that they are rulers over their families. And in the New Testament Greek, it goes a little bit deeper. It is the founder of a family or a tribe. And I'm reminded of growing up, we used to call it the tribe. All the cousins lived around each other. It was such a fun time. We all hung out together. And that's the way that you built family wealth. You expanded your land. Everybody had their needs met. Not one person lacked. Because the families grew up together and they poured their wealth into one pool together. Are you listening to me? So a father, a chief. The family or tribe, a progenitor of a people. It is the originator and transmitter of anything, the authors of a family or society of persons inspired and energized by the same spirit as himself. If I'm a father, I'm going to pass my spirit on to you. It is one who has infused his own spirit, taking the time to fill himself with wisdom and knowledge and understanding and the word of God. Into others. They take the time to pour it out. I'm pouring this upon you today, who actuates and governs the minds of those that they are fathering. So our Father in heaven has done in us a great work, but we have to reproduce it. Somebody say it's a title of honor. It's a teacher. So as fathers, we find out what we do is we impart to our children. That's the reason the scripture says, train them up in the way that they should go, and when they're old, they shall not depart from it. Or when they grow whiskers, they shall not depart from it. No matter how haywire, fouled up, and stupid they might look like they're going to get, just trust God that what you put in there is greater than what's going on in them right now. And that one point in time that the Spirit of the Lord is going to cause that to come alive on the inside of them. Our world needs fathers. Somebody say, yes, it does. It doesn't need perverted entertainment to divine or give us a photograph to portray what a father is, calling them stupid or out of touch or unintelligent, beer guzzling, partying ignoramuses who are unplugged and without restraint or guidance, or a dinosaur. Isn't that the way the world portrays fathers? Every sitcom that comes on, they try to make the man look as stupid as they possibly can. They try to make the parents look dysfunctional. And I don't know whether you get this or not, but that has worked its way down into society, and that's what it has produced, because they are fathering a nation, and the nation has been listening. It's been getting into the kids. Come on. Let's look at somebody and say, it's time to turn the TV off and turn God on. But this is not what a father is. And I think I need to remind you this morning about what a father is and what men are. Men built this great nation. They fought, they bled, they died to secure it against their enemies, domestic and abroad. They gave their fortunes and sacrificed all to raise this nation up. Our founding fathers, and listen to me, the progenitors, the beginners, the ones, they prayed, they fasted, they hammered out laws and gave us the Constitution of the United States of America so that we could have the nation that we have today. Men did that. Not stupid, ignoramus men. Men did that. Men built the buildings. Men invented the things we enjoy. Men sowed the crops to feed their families, raised up herds to feed us meat, built ships to cross the seas with. Come on. Men carried their families across this nation, built cities and schools and colleges, and raised up families. Men led the way through bravery. Men built churches, read the Bible, preached the word, had faith in God that freedom came from Him. Oh yeah, their wives worked hard as well. But we're talking about men today. But I remind you today that it takes men, it takes fathers. Don't ever be ashamed of your masculinity. Thank God masculinity is returning to America today. Somebody give God a hand clap. So we need true fathers to speak up and to speak out and lead the way by examples. First, understand that this is why transgenderism is so destructive. It neuters, it emasculates, it perverts God's intended purpose for the family. God does not make mistakes. You were born the right sex this morning. You have the DNA to prove it. You are unique. You are a man, a male. Being creative and having the ability to decorate, not wanting to get your hands in grease, does not make you a man trapped in a woman trapped in a man's body. I'll get it straight. Amen. Can I say that again? I said, not wanting to get your hands in grease does not make you a woman trapped in a man's body. Men are builders. They're creators. They're inventors. They're warriors. They're leaders. They're guides. They're protectors. They're priests of the home. Look throughout the scripture and you're going to find master craftsmen that God anointed to create all the furnishings of His house, to work in gold and silver and filigree, to design all those golden things and even the mercy seat to overlay with gold and to build that temple and to make it the sight that it was, the wonder of the beauty of the temple, carvings and designs of gold and silver. all the things that went into it. Master artists, listen, that were men. They knew how to sew. They knew how to dye. They knew how to carve. They knew how to make things. And there's nothing wrong with it. And they knew how to cook. But that didn't make them a woman. That made them a provider. That made them skilled. When it came for time for God to anoint a person to do that work, he anointed Bezalel with that anointing. Not a woman, a man. It's important. So what is God saying? Wear your manhood like a badge and be proud of your DNA and don't let a devil pervert who you are or manipulate and mutilate what God has given to you. Somebody say amen. As I said, we need fathers, not just biological fathers who are sperm donors, but we need fathers that can progenerate and that can secure children under them and teach them the things of God. Webster's defines father as the blueprint. I love this. The blueprint, the model, the design, the mold, the DNA framework, the template. See, God placed that fathering DNA inside of you men. You men lay your hand and say, I'm a man. I'm a man, and I got a plan. See, voices in the world seek to change that. But God's voice is truth. Fathers are also defined as predecessors. And I love this next statement. It comes out of the Greek. Holders of the post. Oh, yeah, you're going to always find one that's fouled up and messed up. But I'm going to tell you something. If you look back and trace things back in history, you're going to find some demonic, devilish hand that has molested and raped and worked its way in there somehow to try to manipulate that individual. Anytime that a holder of the post gets perverted or God's definition of a man is perverted, it releases hell in the earth. This is why the first flood came, because the fallen angels took to themselves the daughters of men and had sexual relationships with them, and it created a race of brute beasts that Jude calls them. And every thought of man became evil continually. God cleansed the earth through the flood and gave the rainbow as a sign of covenant that he would never destroy it again by a flood. Noah and his family were saved because they were the only ones that were uncontaminated. His seed was uncontaminated by the perversion of the fallen angels. And I think it is important to note that Jesus said concerning the end times in Matthew 24, verse number 37, but as it was in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So what is that telling me today when I read Scripture? That there will be a direct attack against man's sexuality before Jesus comes. That's what Jesus taught. So Jesus is warning the church not to be deceived by DEI, by transgenderism, by the chaos that is in the land. So what was going on? Lots of activity, lots of demonstration, lots of sexual immorality, family chaos, drunkenness. Marriage was nothing more than a one-night stand. God had been trivialized, marginalized until the flood came. What a wake-up call. This is why we need fathers, patriarchs, leaders, guiding lights, elders, seniors, senior figures, givers of life, reproducers of what God intended, men of wisdom. Abraham, called the father of the faithful. Remember that God said of Abraham, I know Abraham, for he will command his children and his children's children. I want to say to you this morning that what's ahead of us is not going to be easy as men. It's going to require more than just biological fathers in the world, but it's going to have fathers that are committed to their families to get the job done. Men, I want you to look around you this morning. Every young man or young woman that you see, you are their father in one sense or the other. And it's time that you realize, if I'm a pervert, I need to clean up my act. If I'm an adulterer, I need to get straight. If I am messed up in fornication, I need to get my life right. Come on now, somebody. Because I am fathering a generation. And if I come to the house of God, and if I'm sending out a signal that's preaching something other than what this blessed book says, I need to repent. I am a man, and I've got to man up. I got to speak up. I got to stand up. And I got to mentor a generation that points to them what a true father is. And not have anyone fear that I'm going to harm them or hurt them, but know that they can come to me and be at peace. See, it's going to require more than just a few good men. It'll require us seeing we are our brother's keeper. That's a hard thing. I ain't got time for that. Oh, yes, you do. God said you did. Quit marginalizing God. Quit putting him in the back seat of the bus. Put him in the steering wheel. See, the world has orphanages. It has fostering systems. But it doesn't have a Christ foundation on which the gates of hell cannot prevail. Thank God for programs such as Big Brother and Parents for a Weekend and other Christian programs. I'm reminded of a movie that was out over the past year or maybe just a year and a half ago called The Forge. How many saw that movie? So powerful. How that these men manned up and they took individuals that were street kids or fatherless kids and they took them in and they fathered them and turned them into great citizens, preachers, businessmen. It's a powerful example of what God intends for the church to do. Men, it is your calling to go beyond your four walls and find these fatherless individuals, male or female. I thank God for our jail ministry. Thank God for what Jeff is doing. Thank God for the ministry they have helping these young guys that are trying to find their place in life because they're mentoring these young men. Male or female, if there's ever been a time the church needs to step up, it's right now. It's going to require a movement so great that it changes the course of history in this great land that we live in. We've got to put our shoulder to the wheel and push. Somebody say push. You see, so many dads are missing in action today that we're causing our children to be placed under a curse. This is what Malachi meant. He said, when you marginalize God, if you trivialize his word and his ways, what you're doing is you're opening the door for curse to come upon them. Let me explain this in modern terms. Unless the hearts of the fathers are turned to the children, unless the hearts of the children are turned to the fathers, God says you open the door for the curse. It's there. It's waiting. It's couching at the door. It's wanting to give in. And it's not God doing it. It's our allowance and disobedience to God's commands that he said, remember my servant Moses. Remember my laws. Remember my precepts. Remember my righteous judgments. When we sit in our television to see the demonstrations in our cities and we see all the crazy chaos that's happening, it should anger us and stir us. We fuss at the TV, but God is saying, stand up, be my voice, and speak out. Find somebody to mentor. Find somebody that you can speak truth into and put your hand upon their life and help guide them into the light. Wow. See, God has given us fathers, I believe, right now, to father a generation. It's loving them to truth by reaching out to them. One person at a time, one life at a time. Our children within the safety of our homes, listen to me. Our children within the safety of our homes are still affected by fatherless individuals. It reaches into the schools. It manifests in gangs. It manifests in school shootings. It manifests in mall shootings. It manifests in street shootings. It manifests in rioting and drunkenness and drug addiction and immorality, a society without restraints because of the lack of fathers. God must not be marginalized. We've got to maximize him in our life. Say, I got to get God big inside of me. See, right now you're raising your children, but you must remember we have a responsibility to society to father it in our words, in our lifestyle, our character, and our purpose of life. We see firsthand in the news how that when an individual is attacked, listen to me, most stand to the side and do not want to get involved. Old ladies can have their pocketbooks ripped from their arms, and everybody just stands there and looks with their mouth gaped open. But a man, a father, will chase that individual down and take it away from them. Somebody say, oh God, help me. True fathers will step up and do something. Remember, for as the family goes, so goes the nation. And I have painted probably a pretty grim picture this morning to us here that all hope might be lost, but it's not. I'm here to encourage you, to incite you to a Holy Ghost riot. So there are many fathers here who are already doing their part. I believe that. There are many fathers that are doing that have been moved by these facts. And I believe the Holy Spirit is working in you today, stirring your heart, saying, what can I do? And so the most important of all, remember, with God, all things are possible. God warns us because he loves us. He warns us because he desires to bless us. He warns us because he knows what the devil wants to do. I can't even begin to imagine those precious young people who have been given puberty blockers and mutilated and destroyed their sexuality and didn't even ask their parents if it could be done, because you have a demonized government that is running the show. And they look at you and I as nothing. The church has lost its voice in the earth, by and large, because we have chosen flesh over spirit. And it is time that we chose spirit over flesh, and that we recognize and realize God put me on this earth to prevail against the gates of hell, to put the devil in his place, to vote evil out and righteousness in, to take a stand and be a voice that is loud and clear, and nobody can have any confusion at all about what I'm saying. So listen to what he says. Remember the law of Moses. That if you'll meditate in it, think about it. Think about what he says about the law. It's like the morning dew coming down. Righteousness is like rain falling. When people see true righteousness, they run to the rain. When people see true righteousness, they run to the light. If we're sending out perverted signals, I'm a Christian, but I'm living everything but a Christian. I'm talking everything but a Christian. I want to fit in. I feel more empowered to be a man. Drinking a beer doesn't make you a man. No more than driving a car makes you a car. Come on. Smoking pot and partying and doing what the world does, it's probably one of the most shameful things that you can do in light of your Creator who made you. He made you to be like him, to change the world. He called us to be world changers. And when I read those statistics this morning about us being like so under and the condition of our families, I'm saying, God, awaken us. Help us today. In the name of Jesus, Father. help us to get focused. So we need to get our brains in gear. Come on. Somebody say, I need to get my brain in gear. I need to get focused. Let there be a holy invasion of the church into this earth. Real men. Real men. I said real men. I can remember this, and I'm closing this morning. I want to honor my dad. I remember growing up, my dad was a businessman. First of all, he hauled bootleg liquor. He knew how to get it to its destination. He knew how to get his tires shot off, bullet holes in his car. But then he also became a logger. He had bulldozers and trucks, and I can remember as a little boy, you know, my dad taking me out in that bulldozer and getting us up. We just running, knocking down trees, man. It was nothing like it. You know, any little boy goes crazy over stuff like that. You're sitting up in your dad's lap, and you're sitting in that big old caterpillar, and he's got that blade out there, and all those trees are going down in front of you. Man, I was so proud of my dad. But then he had a business associate, a family member that was perverted. Stole a lot of stuff, did a lot of underhanded deeds, and disappeared. And then my dad found out that the business was bankrupt. My dad said, if I ever get my hands on him, I'll kill him. And he would have. I watched my dad so devastated because we went from having stuff to having nothing. My dad began to drive a tractor trailer truck and to work as many hours as he possibly could. And every week he got paid, he went around to every person he owed and gave them a piece of money. He said, I'm going to pay you back. I don't care how long it takes. That's a man. I said, that's a man. He paid the debt off. I said, he paid the debt off. I watched my dad. He loved cars. He liked the fast ones. He knew how to build engines, and man, he knew how to drive them. I would watch him work on stuff. I would see him pick up engines and throw them. Cuss like a sailor. I don't know, he'd probably embarrass the sailors. But he was a man's man. But there was nothing greater than the night that my mother had a prayer meeting in our house. And my dad came and knelt at the hearth of the fireplace and gave his heart to Jesus Christ. Because you know what happened then? That turned my world upside down. Because I was looking at the guy who gave me a beer to drink when I was 7 years old on his knees. I was looking at the guy that loved to be a hellion and party and have his brothers and friends over at the house and play cards. I was looking at the guy that just, you know, I looked up to and everybody called him Bull and me Little Bull. And then all of a sudden, as a teenager, I'm standing there in the middle of my sin that I'd been joining all this time, and now my mother's got full of the Holy Ghost and fire, has a prayer meeting, and has my dad comes in under conviction because God got a hold of him and saved him right there in the living room. And all of a sudden, conviction hits me and says, what are you going to do? And I said, well, I'm not quite ready yet. I got to see if this sticks. That's what a real man does. That's what a real man does. He repented, gave his heart to Jesus, and he started living for Jesus, and he drove the vans. He became a deacon in the church. He taught Sunday school. I would see him reading his Bible hour after hour after hour, sitting there. And his Bible, I got it in my office. It's all got underlined in it and colored and notes written down from this preacher and that preacher and that preacher. Writing things down that they said, and he would come in every Sunday morning and grab me by the leg and say, boy, come on, let's go to church. That's a man. And he pulled me out of that bed by my leg, and I'd sneak out the door and go to my cousin's house because I wasn't ready. But it was by his life change experience, and boy, what happened if my mother... My dad so radically changed that I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, God is real. If he can change then David Coleman, he can change anybody. And he changed me. He's my father. He's my heavenly father. But my earthly father started pointing me in the right direction. And he fathered me for truth and justice and righteousness and how to pay my bills and how to treat people right. He taught me not to do evil and to do good. He taught me to help people and to reach out and be kind. He taught me how to do those things because the whole picture changed. From ripping up and down the road wide open and going to the next beer joint, hauling me in the car at speeds that were ridiculous. But where you saw one, you saw the other. But the greatest thing about him is he became a father. A godly father. A father that I could absolutely know when he told me something. He hated a lie worse than anything in the world. He would tear your tail up with Dr. Dogwood over a lie quicker than anything else. He said, boy, I hate a lie. I said, I'm glad you told me. Because I want to tell my tale that. Amen. Let's stand together this morning. Jennifer, come on up. But we need men, we need real men, and I'm challenging you today, fathers. Fathers, to move beyond your present mindset and begin to engulf the fact that every young man needs a father. Every young boy needs a father. And whether you're their true blood biological daddy or not, it doesn't matter. You are an epistle written and read of all men. Somebody's reading your life, Dad. Somebody's reading your life, Father. And what all these young men want to know is, hey, is it real? Is it true? Is he alive? Can I do this? Yes, you can. And this is what I want to do this morning. I want all of our fathers to come to the altar, and I want every son to come to this altar. Every father, every son. I want the sons with the fathers. You sons and dads get real close. Hug up on each other. So we'll know you like each other anyway. Amen. If your father is not here, you come down and pick you out one. If your father is not here, come down here and pick you out one. And get in close. Now I want all the mothers to make a line across the back. Because you are important too. Couldn't have any babies without you. And we got a lot of babies standing up here. Amen. I want you to lift your hands up high to heaven. I'm going to pray a blessing over you today. Father in heaven, I pray over every one of these fathers and sons right now. The reason I have the fathers and sons is because I know that the sons are going to be fathers in the future. I pray today, my God, that the fire of God would touch every father in this house. I speak the fire of the anointing upon every son in Jesus' name. I mark them with the blood of Jesus Christ, the sonship mark of Jesus upon every son. Today, oh God, I pray for a blending, a uniting, a becoming as one, a molding together, Father God, of every father and of every son today. Oh, Father, because Father in heaven, you've made us fathers to this generation. And I pray today that God, that every son here, Father, would hold their fathers in high esteem, realizing, Father God, the price that they have paid. And Father, that every son today would be marked indelibly upon the imprint of their soul, their mind. Father God, that this will be a special day. God, that something will take place within them. That, Lord, that they will realize that they are going to be fathers to father the next generation. I'm asking today, oh God, for the force of righteousness to move in every heart of every man and of every son. I pray today that beyond, Father God, the biological possibilities, that we will move into the supernatural spirit realm. Lord, of the power of God today, Lord, that makes them fathers like you did Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You formed him. Father, and I ask you to form these men. Forge these sons today. Forge them in the forces that the gates of hell cannot prevail against. Raise them up to be and to have expectations far beyond their present expectation. Let them see themselves as leaders, businessmen, senators, congressmen, mayors, governors. Oh, I take off the limitations from them today. God, and I ask you to breathe supernaturally into their spirit and their soul. I pray, Lord, let the cleansing fire of the Holy Ghost and the conviction of the Holy Ghost move in their hearts and lives. Father, and I pray today, God, for strong families, mothers and fathers. And I pray for these ladies today, these women that have stood behind these men and with these men. God, that you will give them a refreshed home, marriage. Lord, that you will breathe new life into them today. Because as the family goes, so goes the world, the nation. So I'm asking you, God, to give us strong families. Cause every prodigal to return. God, our prodigals have great callings upon their lives. And I call them out of that darkness back home again in Jesus' name. Devil, get your hands off of them in Jesus' name. Father, we pray today, move in every man here. Let their voices be clear. When they have opportunity to speak, let wisdom roll out of them to father this generation that needs help. To let them know that there are all kinds of men. Every person is gifted in a different way. Father, have your work and have your way today. We commit them all to you now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Now give him a big praise this morning. And you can go be seated. We're going to be bringing...